أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, and honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about the argument of design, one of the theological arguments that prove the existence of Almighty Allah. Prior touching this topic, let me begin having a brief look at what was said in the private session. In the private session or lecture, it was mentioned that the whole nations or different tribes and different nations believed in the existence of Almighty Allah, finding Almighty Allah through innate and primordial nature Almighty Allah has granted them. They find Almighty Allah with their sound and sinless nature. They find Almighty Allah with their sinless and pure character. So sometimes for some of the people, there is no need that we have to list them these theological arguments, for they feel and they wholeheartedly embrace Almighty Allah's presence, and Almighty Allah's presence is manifested in their practical life without feeling the need to be in pursuit of all these theological arguments. But of course, all the people are not standing in an equal position. They are of different taste and talent. So the Islamic scholars have put forth theological arguments to meet those doubtful or those skeptical tastes and talents. There might be some tastes and talents that they cannot be convinced by saying that you find Almighty Allah within your own innate nature. They require, or they say that, okay, we are in dire need of some theological arguments. So let my reasoning be satisfied or be convinced of these arguments. Leave aside my heart or my heart feelings. So for such people, they try to develop theological arguments so that they should not have logical and rational counter-arguments against Almighty Allah's existence. So in the previous session, it was said that the existence of Almighty Allah is not something very much a difficult issue amongst all the tribes and nations. They believed in this. But what lies the problem in that is that they had some misunderstanding or misconception about Almighty Allah's attributes. So the heavenly sent prophets came and try to amend and correct the people in this respect. So today, God willing, we are going to touch the design argument. Prior coming to the definition of design and order, let me list some six theological arguments, for we will be dealing in detail about the definition, about the exposition of the design argument. Let me say you as a forward that there have been some six categories or six types of arguments that the Islamic and mostly the theological scholars have put forward to prove the existence of Almighty Allah. One of those very, very important arguments that have been put forward by the scholars, that is the world of contingency or contingence. I mean that some of the Muslim philosophers believe that the universe or the whole existence in this universe can be divided into three categories. Either that is a necessarily existent being, we call it wajibul wujud, or that is possibly existent, we call it mumkinul wujud, that is possible to be existent and that is possible to be not existent. This is called mumkinul wujud. And the third type of the existence is mumtani'ul wujud. It means that they should never be existent. It means that that is necessary that it should not exist. Like sharikul bari, he who associates a person or a thing to Almighty Allah. From the Islamic perspective, such a being should never ever be existent. It should never exist. It is necessarily non-existent being. We, the human beings, are possibly existent. If Almighty Allah wills, we will be existent. If Almighty Allah does not will, we would not exist. But Almighty Allah's existence is of the first type. He is essentially and necessarily existent being. He must exist. Otherwise, the whole universe and the whole world, all the existence we can see or we cannot see, they would not exist if Almighty Allah does not exist. So this is a philosophical argument that the Muslim philosophers put forth to once again make it sure that we have understood the first argument that the Muslim philosophers bring or bring about to prove Almighty Allah's existence. That is the argument of contingency or contingence. It means that they divide the whole existence into three types, into three kinds, into three classifications or categories. The first is wajibul wujud. That should necessarily exist. That is Almighty Allah only and merely. The second is mumkinul wujud. It means they are possibly existent. If the external factor helps them exist, of course they would exist. Otherwise, if the external factors and reasons do not contribute their existence, they would not exist, such as the human beings. As it was said, if Almighty Allah wills, of course we would exist. If Almighty Allah does not will, we would not exist. The third type of this existent is mumtani'ul wujud. It means that it should never exist. As I said, that is sharikul bari. The sharikul bari has only a mental existence, not something that should be objective, that should be factual. It does not imply a factual existence. No one can find a factual existence for sharikul bari. It enjoys only a mental existence, not a factual or objective existence. So these are the three types of existence that the Muslim philosophers put forth to prove that Almighty Allah is a necessarily existent being and he should be there. The second type of argument that the Muslim philosophers put forth, that is the temporal character of the world, or the temporal character of the universe. It means that the world, including all the creatures, they were not eternal, they were not perennial, they were not from the eternity. It means there can be imagined a time that we see that such existence or such creatures were not at that time. Only Almighty Allah existed. Almighty Allah was there. So, for example, today we created a building, or today we built a building. In regard with this building, we can say, and this proposition can hold true or can be true, that this building did not exist yesterday or the day before yesterday. It came into being today. The world is the same. There can be imagined a state that this world did not exist, and it was Almighty Allah's will that ended to the existence of such wonderful creature, such a wonderful universe. This is the second argument the Muslim philosophers put forth to prove Almighty Allah's existence. The third argument that the Muslim philosophers and some other theologians put forth, that is the design argument that contains complexity, that the whole universe is a complex and is made up of huge amount of instruments and components. They have not come together at random or out of accident. And it is a stupid idea that the whole universe should be made up of explosions, and all these components should come with their complexities, with their intricate and complicated nature beside one another, without any intention, without any purpose, without any wise, rational agent behind. It seems baseless. It seems irrational that a person should believe that all these universes have come together without any rational agent behind. So this is the third argument they put forward to prove Almighty Allah's existence. The fourth argument is argument of motion. For every motion, there should be a mover. So the universe being a phenomenon, there should be a mover behind this motion of the universe. This is also an argument that is presented by some materialists and some other theologians. The fifth argument that has been put forward, that is the very, very mystical approach. Some of the mystics believe that we do not need, that we have to go to the nature, we have to go to the universe, we have to go to the search all these phenomena, all their complexities, this and that. Or we shouldn't know, or they say sometimes it is needless to ponder or contemplate upon those complicated order and design all these phenomena contain. For if we look at ourselves, if we look within ourselves, we find Almighty Allah. It means those intuitions, those inward feelings the human beings have that is sufficient to confess and to witness Almighty Allah's presence. That is enough. So the mystical approach also is another approach that proves Almighty Allah's existence. They say for Almighty Allah's existence, we have to purify ourselves. We have to pave the ground that the inward sounds must be heard. If we do not hear our internal voices, it means that we made some mistakes and that made our hearts impure. Because of that, we do not hear the voices of ours. So they say that the solution and the alternative is this, that we should go to our inward voice, our inward feelings, our inward sentiments, and our inward havings. That is the solution for our problem, to find Almighty Allah. Otherwise, all these theological arguments would not help us prove Almighty Allah. The sixth argument that has been put forward by some other mystics, they believe that even Almighty Allah's existence is something self-evident fact. You know, for self-evident facts, we are not in need of bringing arguments. We are not in need of bringing lengthy arguments that should prove a self-evident fact. Such as if you want to see or if you want to confess the existence of a sun or the sun, if you want to confess the existence of the sun, You do not need that you have to prove lots of or a host of arguments for a person. No, you have to go and let him see the sun. Then for sure he will prove or he will acknowledge that the sun exists without being in need of mental arguments, without bringing him logical arguments. So they say that Almighty Allah's existence is a self-evident fact. There is no need that we have to bring lots of arguments that should prove Almighty Allah's existence. This is another important argument put forth by these honorable mystics. So these were some six types or some six arguments put forth by different scholars and theologians to prove Almighty Allah's existence. We cannot cover all these arguments in detail in this series of the lessons due to the shortage of time, and of course due to this that such programs are not made for those sophisticated scholars or sophisticated circles of intellectuals that should make use of these lessons and confess Almighty Allah's existence. No. For ordinary people, we are making these lectures, so to make use of the time in its best possible way, we only try to elaborate on the third argument, and that was the design argument. That through applying the design argument, we can reach this concrete conclusion that Almighty Allah exists. So, now let's talk about the design argument. We have to define this first, and secondly, we have to go and elaborate on this argument. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, again, there is a prelude that needs to be addressed. That sometimes the arguments are made up of the premises that are purely rational, while some other arguments are made up of premises that are both rational and sensible. So the design argument is of the second type. It means sometimes some of its premises are rational and some of its premises are not purely rational, rather some sensible, hissy flavors are also added to this argument. Why we try to have this explanation? Many advantages can be assumed for this argument. Firstly, the design argument is not in need of complicated and philosophical assumptions and philosophical reflections. Everyone finds it easy understanding. Everyone finds it easy digesting. Everyone can digest it easily. Everyone finds it the way it suits himself. So it is a very important fact in matter that its premises are not very much complicated or not very much sophisticated or not very much difficult to understand. No, every ordinary man and woman can understand the premises that constitute the argument of design and the argument of order. So due to this, we try to invest and we try to have our time, our energy invested on elaboration of this argument so that we have to have productive, we can say, feedbacks. So one of the important feature that the design argument has is that it is an easy understanding argument. Its premises are not philosophical, its premises are not very much sophisticated. This is the first important thing that we have to keep it in mind. The second reason that we try to elaborate and explain this argument is that this argument not only proves Almighty Allah's existence, but also It proves Almighty Allah's all-inclusive knowledge. It proves Almighty Allah's wisdom. It proves that Almighty Allah is all-wise. It proves that Almighty Allah is all-knowing, all-omnipotent and all-omniscient. So the design argument, or the argument of the design, not only proves Almighty Allah's existence, but also it proves Almighty Allah's knowledge, Almighty Allah's wisdom, Almighty Allah's limitless power and knowledge. The third advantage of design argument is that not only Islam, but also the Judaism and Christianity and the rest of the divinely revealed religions have paid attention to this sort of argument. Even some of the naturalist theologians, they have also paid attention to the design argument. It makes a huge difference. In order to make the people convinced of Almighty Allah's existence, in order to make a persuasive argument, we have to make use of an argument that should be agreed upon consensusly. This is another important advantage of the argument of the design. The fourth reason is that the Holy Quran and the traditions produced by our infallible Imams in the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, and his household, they have also made use of this argument for those people who were of the mediocre and middle rank and middle, we can say, class. Mostly for the people that they were not very much sophisticated, they were not very much dubious or skeptical. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, and his household, and the rest of the Imams made use of this argument so to convince the people that believing in Almighty Allah is something rational. It sounds sensible. It is something that should not be thought that it is baseless or it is irrational. It is beyond our understanding. No, everyone knows that behind every design there is a designer. Behind every complex, we can say, structure or building, there is a very, very smart enough engineer. Otherwise, this structure with this special facet cannot be built out of accident and out of random. So now the definition of design, that is, that something should be, when something is in order, it is in accordance with the logical sequences. When something is in order, it is well organized, it is well arranged. When something is in order, it is that everything is and it is appropriate and it is suitable place and position. This can be true only when something is made up of a host of components and elements. For example, think of a library. If a library is well managed, of course, all the books are put on their own thematic or alphabetical order. You know that if all the shelves are filled with books, but there should not govern any order, any system, the user can hardly find his own book. It will be hard for him to find it. It will be a very time-consuming effort or attempt that he should find his desired book. But when it is arranged in an alphabetical order or in a thematic order, it makes no difference, but order should exist. Indeed, he will find it easily within a second. If this library needs a librarian, if it needs that there should be a person in charge of managing all these books and putting all these books in its due order, in its due position and place, so how we should not think that this universe is in need of a rational, a more wise agent that should run this universe with wisdom, with mercy, with grace, with compassion. Think of a very, very small book. Is it possible that a book should be arranged? The pages, the page numbers should be there without any person who has to edit it? All these lines, all these paragraphs, all these letters should come without any rational agent? Indeed, it is very much hard to believe that a book is arranged without any author. So why we should hesitate about the authorship of Almighty Allah, about this, that this universe being a book does not have an author by the name of Almighty Allah? If it seems illogical that a simple book cannot exist or cannot come into being without any author, without any editor, so why many people think that the whole universe is the outcome of an explosion, the outcome of accident, or it is made up at random, and there is no rational agent behind this wonderful universe? The wonders of the universe is limitless. The wonders of the universe is countless. For sure, every wonderful phenomenon implies and signifies that there is the wisest agent behind this wonderful phenomenon. The whole universe can be assumed or can be exemplified in this book, that if the voluminous, for example, encyclopedia cannot be arranged without a couple of writers, without a center that should cooperate and coordinate with them, so how we have to think that the whole universe has been created without an irrational agent? So that makes us that we have to contemplate, we have to meditate. Honestly, we have to contemplate not only within the creature, within the universe, but also within ourselves, our mouth, our tongue, our lungs, our liver, our heart, our mind, our brain, each and every organs of the human beings contain precious and priceless lessons for every human. That implies Almighty Allah's existence, that necessitates Almighty Allah's existence. So that is what we have presented for our listeners in this lesson. Firstly, we said that there are some people that they are in dire need of some theological arguments. They cannot be convinced of some very, very easy arguments. This was the first. So due to this, we said some six kinds of arguments have been put forth by the Muslim and other scholars to prove Almighty Allah's existence. One of the most important arguments that have a long history, that is the design argument. And we defined design that behind every design there should exist a designer. So we then defined design as that something that should be in their due and correct and appropriate position and place. Since everything in this universe is on their due position and places, for sure there should be a rational agent behind all these wonders. And it was mentioned that the wonders of the universe are limitless. It suffices that we have to think on one of them, and it would lead us to Almighty Allah's existence. It would lead us to this conclusion that this universe cannot come but out of a very, very wise and rational agent. Blind accident can never, ever bring about such a wonderful universe for us. And it makes us satisfied, it makes us convinced that if we think of one of the organs of our body, it will lead to this correct and persuasive response that Almighty Allah exists. So may God bless us all, dear listeners and viewers, that we have to honestly accept Almighty Allah's existence, and then we have to comply with His orders and with His commandments, so that we have to reach salvation and we have to be granted the eternal happiness. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.